and it makes sin exceeding sinful, though itself is a good and spiritual and holy thing, just thing. But for the Christian, I see also another yoke of bondage, which is the doubt. Whatever leads you away from faith. Whatsoever is not as faith is sin, as Paul has said. Okay? Not that there's, you know, just two, there are two things in the world, faith and sin. But the things we do in the Spirit and pertaining to God have to be done in faith. When they're done in doubt, or in things pertaining to, like, the law or legalism, it's an entanglement. It doesn't make us free. Because, again, we even look at ourselves as prisoners. We have to do this. Whereas in faith, it's, oh, I have to do this. It's a very subtle distinction, but it's all about the way we are receiving these things. It's really the difference. Paul said, verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, and if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. He means those who, among the Greeks who now get circumcised because of the action of the Jew. And I say the same thing. I'm like, oh, we got to keep the Sabbath on Saturday. Or, oh, we got to keep the Sabbath on Sunday. You know, I like, as I said before, I'm all for we should gather together all the more with our believers, right? But it's not because it's the Sabbath that we're gathering together. We're gathering together because of the body of Christ. And Paul even says that in a later epistle. We'll get to that. Coming up actually very soon. Because after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verse 4. Christ is of no effect to you. And as I said before about being a debtor to the whole law. Do you remember that? If you're going to start to do part, like about keeping the Sabbath, you are in debt to fulfill the Sabbath. And even more than that, you're in debt to do, you really, if you're going to do it according to the Old Testament law, you don't just do it, see the thing is, we just follow the Ten Commandments. Wrong. It's like saying, well, we just believe in faith. We don't believe in virtue. We don't believe, and this is the way people are. You know, we only believe in faith. Well, we don't believe in things like, you know, adding to our faith. No, it's faith plus nothing. We wouldn't add to our faith virtue. We wouldn't add to virtue then, because we don't add to faith. We're adding knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. I mean, come on. And so they would say, well, the law, we're just going to keep the Sabbath. We're not going to keep the dietary laws, or maybe we will. A lot of those people, they start getting into, well, you know, God gave those laws because of logical reasons. There are logical reasons because these foods are healthier. And why did God also command them to wear only one type of cloth? You will not wear garments of mixed cloth. You know, you won't wear wool and cotton together. You won't mix them. Did God command that because clothes of unmixed fibers are better? You know, 50% polyester, 50% cotton? No. And see, the thing is, they try to justify God on a human basis, saying there was some logical reason. God gives the reason. He says, you're going to be a set-apart nation, a holy nation, meaning separated, distinct. I'm going to make you distinct in everything. The way you dress, the food you eat, everything. You don't eat these foods, and then you're going to determine what you eat based on the cloven hoof and whether or not they chew the cud. You know? And some people say about, oh, this meat is healthier, that meat is healthier. There's people who say that no meat is healthy. And we covered that back in Romans about, you know, some people who are weak think, oh, I only eat herbs. I only eat vegetation. okay? And they're so worried about their flesh. I tell you what, it is good for man to neither eat meat or drink anything if it causes his brother to stumble. Okay? But there's only a point. You bear the weak, but only to a certain point. Not to the point where they start calling all the shots and they become judges over the strong. They're not supposed to be judging us. And we are not supposed to despise them. Okay? The idea is we remember the patience and long-suffering of God which led us to repentance, and we pray for them that the patience and long-suffering of God will lead them to repentance. Maybe by the hearing of the preached word of God. Well, Christ has become of no effect to you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Hey, you start trying to prove yourself to God by, look, I keep the Sabbath. Look it, I keep the dietary laws. Although they'd say, oh, we only do that as, voluntarily. I mean, we don't see it as, like, necessary for our salvation. If it's not, then why do it? Oh, well, certainly the dietary laws, a lot of people say, well, it's not necessary. We just feel strongly about it. What about those Ten Commandments? Well, those we do feel strongly about. Well, wait till we get to Corinthians, that's all I can say. You start observing days and months and so on and so forth. It's just, you're falling from grace. You think you can please God. You think you're going to do something and get something from God. That's not the obedience that he's demanding in Christ. It's just not. Those things, if it was, see, the thing is, if it was, instead of having passages that say, you observe days and months and I'm afraid of you, and other passages, and I'll kind of preview it here now, like in Colossians, where he says, verse 16 of chapter 2, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbaths. Now, if God was still requiring that, we wouldn't have statements like that in the New Testament. See, the fact that it can even be argued is proof enough that